Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
What's cream?
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right. We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You gotta rise above it. You gotta harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Hope you guys are enjoying your Thursday afternoon. Doing all right out there. Pretty sure I got a ticket yesterday, so that's cool.
Parking ticket? Speeding ticket?
Speeding.
Get one of the cameras.
You know, my my kryptonite is parked gray vans that I don't see, and then they flash a light in my face.
Yeah, and the ones that really drive me nuts are when they have the speed things that go up, but they flash a light at you as you drive by, basically making you think that you got a ticket, but they just do that to slow you down.
But I think when it's the van, because I've already got a ticket from a van,
you're done.
And I was crossing the Ross Island. They say the speed limit on the Ross Island's 30.
Where was there a van on the Ross Island Bridge?
It was just past the 99 exit.
Oh.
I had to go down Powell because I was looking for an oil change.
Right, right.
And I kept going right off the bridge. They say it's 30. Everybody drives on the Ross Island at around 45 to 50.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was kind of going with the group. Admittedly, I am a bit of a speedster. It's genetics. What am I going to do?
You got a lead foot. What do you want?
But I saw the van a little too late, hit that gas, dropped to about 30.
You mean hit the brake?
Oh, yeah. Hit the brake. Sorry.
Speed up from there. Yeah.
Dropped to about 36. A guy was slightly in front of me. He also slowed down. Flash went right there. It showed 48, and I thought, I'm going to get it. That's me.
Damn, you were flying.
Everybody else was going that speed. It wasn't like I was passing everybody.
Slowing down to 48, man. Jeez, what are you going, 65 over the bridge?
I mean, it's a tough time. Can we just give warnings right now? Do you need $190 or whatever they're going to end up charging
me? See, that one I can understand both lines of logic is because there's probably areas that are desperate for the extra revenue right now because we're paying so much in other ways, so they need more money. But we're also, a lot of us are not in the most well-off situation to pay those tickets.
Those damn vans always get me, man. All right, we got Steve Hellwagon. He covers Ohio State football for Buck Nuts. I think that's a 24/7 website, and he's going to join us at 1:30. They've got a new idea, or at least a plan to roll out how many fans they potentially could have in their stadium this year. So he'll join us at 1:30. We got crunch time to get to, but I want to start the second hour with this Dak Prescott story. Now, I didn't see if anybody texted in or not at the start of the show. If you're tired of hearing about Dak Prescott, I just want to give an update. Offered 5 years, $175 million, would have been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
He said no. He told the Cowboys to piss off, and he wants a fifth year where he gets $45 million in his fifth year of his contract. I haven't seen all the detail breakdowns, but 5 years, $175 million, still not enough money for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think the immediate question is how much of it is guaranteed, because those are every quarterback looks to win a different battle, right? You want to have the highest annual average. You want to have the highest total contract. You want to have the highest total guaranteed.
Their last deal offered him 106 guaranteed. I don't know if that changed, but I know in the last offer it was 106
guaranteed. 106
guaranteed.
So if you go 175 million in the total value of the contract, that tops. I'm trying to see who the next closest is. It looks like it is Matt Ryan at 158, because Russell Wilson's at 140, Rodgers 134, Goff 134, Wentz 128. The total full, like if it's a full guaranteed of that length too, or total guaranteed, looks like the record for that right now is 110 million with Jared Goff, 110, just north of $110 million. So this is a terrible idea by Dak Prescott. I get that maybe he wants a four-year deal. If you want a four-year deal, settle somewhere around 33, 34, 35 million. Sounds like Dallas is totally willing to offer you that amount of money. I don't know why he's holding out here. If they're going to offer you the most in total value and near the highest in total guaranteed, and your average salary is going to be right there with what Russell Wilson's making. Russell Wilson, by the way, the highest in average per year at $35 million. Dude, like, what are you waiting for? I don't quite get the negotiation. And the longer this drags out, I'm kind of hoping that Dallas decides to make a move and makes him look foolish.
Mm. By the way, this is a great text. I'd watch 9 hours on Tim Tebow or Johnny Manziel if it meant I didn't have to hear about Dak again.
Yeah, that's the sentiment I'm getting. It's like
can I just say this to the listeners real quick?
Sure.
I know we've already spent like 5-6 minutes on him. We get tired of this too.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there is an element of...
It's a big story.
Yeah, he's the quarterback of the freaking Cowboys. You can hate the Cowboys like I do. You can love the Cowboys. It doesn't matter to me. He is the Cowboy quarterback. It's always a monster deal. And now it's at a point where a very polarizing player is thinking $175 million is not... Look, because you can say guaranteed. You can say annual. I know we love to play this game with every player that gets a contract, right? And the cliche thing in radio to say now is... Well, it's always the money up front because most of these guys won't see the end of that contract. We all said that over a million times. Quarterbacks will. Whatever he ends up getting, 4, 5, 6, barring injury, these guys always see the entire life of that contract.
For the most part,
Matt Ryan's going to see his entire deal through. Aaron Rodgers is going to see his entire deal through. Russell Wilson's going to get all that money.
The only guy who might not, and he's not in that quite that level, is a guy like Derek Carr.
Sure, Derek Carr might not.
He's got like 2 years left, I think.
But when they paid him, remember, that was still in the 20 million-ish, not 20 a year, but like the 20 to 20. Well,
yeah, he's 25 million a year.
Yeah, so 25, that's relatively low now.
Yeah, compared, yeah.
But most of these guys are almost all going to get that entire contract. So to me, it's not so much what's guaranteed, what's backloaded, all that. Quarterbacks live out the contracts. They're freaking quarterbacks. Very rarely do you see a team move on, especially from a guy who has had as many wins at the start of his career as Dak has. I mean, even Stafford. Stafford's been in 3 playoff games, hasn't won any of them. He's been through multiple deals now. Right. He's going to see the life of all these contracts. So with quarterbacks specifically, I don't know if it's so much about guaranteed money. You're going to get all of that money.
Well, I think the fatigue, too, there's a couple angles of it for me, at least. One, it's the Cowboys, and after a while, you just get sick of hearing about the Cowboys. They haven't won anything meaningful in over 2 decades. Like, why the hell are we paying so much attention to them? It's almost like if the Yankees had gone 25 years without winning a World Series, like, can we just stop this nonsense, man? They haven't been relevant in a long time. Can we just quit it on the Dallas Cowboys? I don't care that Jerry Jones owns a yacht and he's kind of a weird dude. Like, can we focus on teams that actually win something meaningful? The other part of it is, there is a total, look, I get the, get your bag, baby. Go get however much money as you can. I'm all for it.
I got to get mine.
Got to get your bag. Got to protect your chicken. I totally understand it. But at the same time,
protect your chickens and
there is a, who the hell do you think you are? Dude, they offered you $35 million a year, Dak Prescott. You're not that good. Like, you're a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You're not Russell Wilson good. You're not even in the same universe as Russell Wilson. You're in that parallel universe where you're not as good. You're not a top three guy.
Not even close.
No, dude. Like, what are you holding out for 40? Like, what are we doing here? Just sign the damn contract.
When did we, as a society, when did we agree that the Cowboys have to be the most, one of the most talked about franchises in sports?
Dude, we do it everywhere. Look at how much attention the Knicks get.
Well, okay, so
the Knicks have been awful for 40 years.
They've been irrelevant.
Like, why do we spend so much attention on them?
It's funny watching that Jordan series. Like, that's the last time people cared about the Knicks. Seriously.
The last time that they were relevant was the late 90s.
Here's the teams. Let's lay them out. Let's see if we can do this together.
Okay.
Lakers.
Yep.
Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks.
Yeah.
Cowboys.
I'd go Red Sox, Cubs.
Red Sox, Cubs.
Celtics.
Celtics. USC football.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama.
Ohio State.
Ohio State. There's 10. Can you guys pick one more team out?
I mean, there really isn't one in hockey, to be honest with you, that no matter what gets more attention
okay,
than others.
Okay, let's just use those 10.
Yeah.
And I've heard Colin tell, like, when Colin went from here, from Portland on the Fan to national ESPN, that's a huge jump. But I'll never forget him saying that story. Like, when he went national, he knew he had to talk about the same X amount of teams.
Those are the teams that people care about.
Do they? Because I will disagree. I don't, and maybe I'm skewed with our listeners, because our listeners are kick-ass. We love to have fun, and we do dive into the sports when they're a good topic. I don't know if the country cares about these things quite as much as national people think they do. Because, again, you pointed out the Cowboys.
Sure.
Maybe the Cowboys are part of that list that should always remain. They have not done anything since 1996. And we always do this song and dance.
Right.
It generally ends with them being a 9-7 team, but every year, Cowboys,
this is their
Super
year.
Bowl or not?
This is their year.
You know, Jason Garrett, how many years do we play that song and dance?
Right.
Is Jason Garrett going to break through this year? Spoiler, no.
Here's what I would say about that. I think the passionate diehard sports fan is in 100% lockstep with us. Of like, talk about the compelling teams. Like, with like Kansas City is the most compelling team. They got Patrick Mahomes, right? They are a million times more compelling than the Dallas Cowboys
Can
are.
Mahomes turn them in?
No, you'll never be able to match it, man. You'll never. It's like Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Michael Jordan had that run in the 1990s. Nobody cared about the Bulls before that. Nobody's
Nobody
really cared about
after.
The Bulls after
right.
that, right?
They're
never going to be able to match the Lakers or the Celtics or the Knicks.
What is that?
It's a major market thing. It's a history thing. That's just
Chicago's a top five media market.
Yeah, it is. But maybe it was just the fact that they were an awful organization that got outdrew by an indoor soccer team for the first 20 years of their existence. But I think those teams that you just mentioned, the 10, what they do is they rope in the fringe fan. They rope in the fan that's like, oh, hey, the Yankees are on TV. I'm going to watch this game. That's why they put the Yankees and Red Sox on Sunday Night Baseball 37 times during the regular season.
I know, and they don't even play 37 times during right? the regular season.
So they're going to do it because, you know, if you're flipping around and you're just your casual sports fan, there's a lot of us that are fatigued by it. But if you're the casual fan, you'd be like, oh, look at that, Yankees and Red Sox.
Yeah.
Instead of like, dude, the Pirates are really good this year. How about we keep an eye on the Braves and all their young talent?
Right.
Right? Like, I want a compelling sports story. I don't need to have pinstripes to get me to watch it.
That was like... And we got to go. We'll come back with maybe some of this. And then also ESPN did a list that I want to read to Portland fan. That was like the Lakers at the end of Kobe, RIP
sure
Cobes.
Was.
Like that team.
Dude, they were awful.
Sucked.
And they were awful for the first 2 years after he retired.
And they were on primetime every week.
Yeah.
It was like Thursday night, we got Pelicans, Lakers. It's like, oh my God, I couldn't care less about that matchup.
Right.
But it's Kobe. It's the Lakers. I don't know. You're probably right. These teams probably continually bring in that fringe fan. But I'll tell you, man, as a lifetime diehard sports guy, and I know there's a lot of listeners that are like that too, I just, when they suck, I don't care. I'm not interested whatsoever in the Knicks at all. And the top headline the other day was, Knicks GM Leon Rose hires an assistant GM. And I'm like,
Who cares?
They suck.
Did we talk about any poorly run NBA team like that? Like, why don't the Suns get headlines like that?
Yeah, at least they got Devin right? Booker.
They've been irrelevant since the 90s. Well, I guess he had Nash there for
Nash
a couple
era,
years, sure.
Yeah.
But largely in terms of winning or getting to an NBA Finals, it's been a long time for them.
And if the precursor to this, and then we'll break, if the precursor is that they were great for an extended period long ago, that's kind of my question to you. If Mahomes ends up having the career a lot of us think he could have, maybe he wins 4 to 7 Super Bowls for all we know. That's at least an 11 to 12 year run of great play.
Yeah.
You're telling me the Chiefs don't break through that, but the Knicks did because they won a GD title in 1974 and Willis Reed limped out once and they had John Starks. But we got to talk about the New York Knicks every other day.
Oh, Notre Dame's another good one,
Notre Dame's a great one, too, right? So we'll read some thoughts on this and then also a list ESPN made involving Portland. And I'll tell you what it is next on The Fan. By the way, talk about hot takes. Tim Taylor likes to stop in here because he's Tim Taylor's going crazy, so he needs to hang out with his bros over here at the van.
He's got to blow off some steam.
And usually he just walks in.
We need to put like a bar in here for him just to come in, mix a cocktail, and go back, stiffy. You know?
Yeah. And he's wearing a Kiss hat, and I just jokingly say, hey, man, Kiss sucks. And I could tell that got right to him. He started getting mad, explaining why Kiss is not suck. And here we are.
Hey, I explained why it's in my DNA. It's the 70s Kiss.
I golfed with a guy in Kiss, and I didn't even know he was in Kiss.
Tommy Thayer.
I don't know. He's a local guy.
Listen.
Is that his name is? Tommy Thayer?
Tommy Thayer.
I golfed with him at the Reserve for a round, and I was like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, I'm in rock and roll. And I'm like, what do you do? And he's like, I'm in Kiss.
You have the most random music run-ins of all time.
And I don't know who they are, which makes it even worse.
He had dinner. You know he had dinner with Jack White and didn't know who he was?
He had dinner happy hour, yeah.
If it was the Backstreet Boys, though, you'd be like, that's Nick.
You're tearing up my heart.
Look.
Yeah, love you guys.
Tell me why.
So did NSYNC, were you guys like in a competition between each other?
Hey, Justin, bye, bye, bye.
Huh? Yeah.
Get it, get it.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Kiss rules.
Welcome to my world.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing good.
Yeah. All right. Let me read. Any thoughts come in on this one? Let's see. Yeah, Duke. Duke's another great one.
Duke's another great example.
And Duke, we have to talk about Duke every year. Now, Duke is more consistent in winning.
Yeah, there's a difference for me.
But like, they also cheat.
If you're consistently, well, everybody cheats in college basketball.
But they cheat a lot more and don't get called on it like other pro. Like, everybody calls out Calipari, right? Calipari's had some things stripped of him. UMass, Memphis.
Yeah.
Are we going to act like this Zion Williamson lawsuit's not going on and that Duke paid him money?
What are you talking about?
See, yeah, it's Coach K. Coach K would always deny it. He'll never publicly admit it.
The boss is at home right now with steam coming out of his ears.
I don't think he is. I think Boss Man is a smart guy. He knows, just like I know as a UNC fan, they cheat. You don't be consistent in recruiting if you don't cheat.
Yeah, I love that, the act that because it's Coach K, that nothing illegal or shady is going on behind the scenes.
I went to the Army. I'm an academy man. I don't cheat.
I'll say this at least for Duke is they're consistently good every year. So, if you're in the tournament every year and you have a chance to win the title every year, like, I don't mind it. I don't mind when the Lakers are getting headlines because they have LeBron and Anthony Davis. I mind when they get headlines. Because they got Lonzo Ball as a rookie and his dad saying dumb stuff on ESPN and the team's winning 24 games.
Yeah.
There's a drastic difference there. But the reality remains, and even a 49er fan texted it in, the reality remains that those teams rate the best. And it goes back to the point I was making in the last segment that you rope in fringe fans. We are sports fans.
Do they rate the best when they suck?
Now that I don't know.
See, because that's what I want to know is, yes,
that I don't know.
When they're good, I won't argue it. You cannot. I want proof that the New York Knicks like drastically outdraw TV viewers in the middle of their suckage.
Here's what I'll
more
say.
More so than other middle of the road or good teams. Like the New York Knicks right now with RJ Barrett and company, if they're on a Wednesday ESPN game, are they going to get more TV ratings than if it's Damian Lillard versus middle of the road Western Conference team?
And that's where I would say no, because
see, I think the same thing.
I feel like the NBA is actually the best at this in terms of scheduling nationally television games based on interesting matchups. Like a prime example that, not that this doesn't happen in other sports as well, but like New Orleans was, and they got screwed because Zion got hurt, but they were on national TV a ton because Zion is interesting. I think there are individual stars that outweigh the brands in the NBA, and the league does a really good job of that. Baseball doesn't really care as much. They're more about, let's put the Yankees on TV no matter who's on the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Cubs. Let's show those teams, whereas you might have other players that are young and more attractive that are compelling to the diehard sports fan, but they don't rope everybody else in. Now, I do have a follow-up question on that, because you asked it about Patrick Mahomes and can he get there? Let me ask you this. If you think of the blue bloods of the NFL, right, the teams that come to mind, Green Bay, Dallas, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, probably. Am I missing anybody? Of the historically great,
I think
over the 40 years.
Yeah, maybe I'm conditioned with this. This probably goes to our conversation. Would you put the Giants in there?
Sure, I think the Giants. Yeah, I mean they won. Yeah, they won with Parcells. He won two Super Bowls with Tom Coughlin.
I think you have to say the Patriots now. They have more Super Bowls than anybody.
That was my question: is New England now entered that? Especially when everybody else moves on, are you going to be as interested in the Patriots, and will people be as interested in the Patriots as we are per se the Green Bay Packers?
No, but what I hate about it is these blue bloods in each sport were established in an era where they weren't even on TV that much, but because they won and they were consistent in the 60s. Or the 70s, we classify them as blue bloods. Why don't you do that again? You're right. The Bulls won 6 in 8 years. They won 6 in the 90s decade.
Which I don't think we've ever seen, have we? Has anybody ever won 6 in a decade?
Probably the Celtics or something. Yeah.
Celtics or something.
But we don't care about them. We don't follow them unless they're really, really good.
No, because it was the individual. It was Michael Jordan that got us to care.
But see, the Chiefs, to me, should fall in the blue blood line. They're an iconic brand that won the second Super Bowl.
They also hadn't been to one since then.
I know, but I love their unis. I love Arrowhead Stadium. Like, I got nothing against the Chiefs. They just beat my team in the Super Bowl. I still don't hate them.
Yeah, I think what carries it on, and this is my argument I would make about New England, is you need, I think, more. You can't draw it to one person. So, like, with Chicago, it was Michael Jordan. Now, not to say that he was the only reason that they won, but he was the face of all of that, right? And without Michael Jordan, they sucked. Since he left, they've sucked. Outside of the couple of years they had Derrick Rose and they had a chance. You look at most of these other teams that we're talking about, really outside of the Knicks, because that one, I think, is just about being in New York and playing at Madison Square Garden. Like, use the Packers for an example, right? You got Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You have all these legendary head coaches.
Jordan Love.
Jordan. You look at the 49ers. They won them with Joe Montana. They won one with Steve Young. You have Bill Walsh. Seifert. You have all these different guys over the years. Jerry Rice. All these different legendary figures. The Lakers are the same way. The Celtics are the same way. Like, who's the face of the Lakers? Kareem, Shaq, Magic.
I mean,
Kobe.
You got Magic.
Right? Sure.
Probably
Magic. But people could answer maybe it's Wilt for some people if you're a little bit older, right?
Some say it's Kobe.
Some say it's Kobe, the modern era, right? So there's different people to point to. That's my question, though, about New England. Is New England, it has been Belichick and Brady. Not to say they're the only reasons that have won, but before they got there, the Patriots were largely irrelevant. They got to a Super Bowl in the 80s, they got to a Super Bowl in the 90s. Like, okay, they didn't win.
They were most known for the team that got blown out by the 85 Bears.
Right. And then the team that lost to Brett Favre when Bledsoe took him in, what was that, 95 or 94, whatever, 96, whatever year that was, right? It's centered around those two guys. So that's the question I have about New England is now that Brady has moved on, he's no longer a Patriot, and Belichick's going to be there in a couple of years, do we still view them the same way as we do the Cowboys, the Packers, the Niners, and the other organizations?
It's tough to answer that question. I would say because they're basically the Boston market, well, they are the Boston market, we're always going to care. Now, to the degree of which we care,
I don't know.
It might not be as many primetime games. They might suck this year, but I think the minute they're even mediocre, we're going to care again because of the market. I think a lot of this market-based more so than it is for some teams' tradition. Like, let me throw this at you real quick. And then we got Steve Hellwagon, who covers Ohio State, joining us at the bottom of the hour. If the Lakers never move from Minneapolis, but they have the entire history of the Lakers in L.A.
All the same players, all the
same
titles.
Is Minneapolis a blue blood, or is it the L.A.-based team, whoever that becomes?
I think they are. I mean, you're talking about winning championships over the span of 4 decades?
Because Green Bay is largely your biggest small market national brand.
Yeah.
Right? So would Minneapolis qualify? Because the Viking football team, they had a great run in the 90s. They had a great run in the 70s with the Purple People Eaters.
When they lost four Super Bowls,
yeah. And then they've been a relevant team now for a few seasons.
Yeah, but I go back to...
But we don't care about them the way you care about every other brand that you consider a blue blood.
Yeah, but I go back to before Favre got there, when it was Don Majkowski and Lynn Dickey and...
They sucked for a long time.
They were pretty irrelevant. I don't remember them... There was nostalgia, but anytime it was always looking back to Lombardi.
Yeah.
So when they played the Bears or something.
Sure, that's a good point.
So you're saying, basically disproving his point.
I think the Patriots go back to second tier status if whatever the next.
Well, no, I think he's proving my point because the Packers had a period of being irrelevant where nobody really cared about him, and you always look back to the Vince Lombardi days.
70s and 80s, man.
But it took you took Holmgren and Brett Favre coming in there and winning a Super Bowl, and you had another iteration of championship teams, and then you had a new coach and a new quarterback that won one with Aaron Rodgers.
I think the Patriots are going to become the Bulls.
So, okay, so that's what I'm saying, though, is he's kind of going against your point. in the sense of Jordan made the Bulls the team. When Jordan leaves, we don't care about the Bulls. National, right. You know, ESPN's Foxes, they don't cover them. His point is basically people didn't care about Green Bay. And then Favre got there with Holmgren. They started winning. They started being contenders. And that just carried over into Aaron Rodgers. Now, maybe that has to do more with
Rodgers. You had the Vince Lombardi stuff there to begin with. You had that starting point, and then you added winning on top of it.
Right, but the Chiefs have the history, too, and now they're winning for maybe a decade with their quarterback, right?
They could, yeah. My larger point is, and I'm with Swag on where the Patriots will be. I think unless they continue winning, unless Jared Sittum's the dude or they draft a guy next year, I think they go back to being a second-tier team.
The next coach is.
Sure, whoever's after Belichick.
If Josh McDaniels takes over and they keep it going, then and they win another Super Bowl, then they become like the Steelers do or the Cowboys did, transitioning from Staubach and Landry to Jimmy Johnson and Aikman and the triplets.
Yep. Is there, real quick, and then we'll get to Steve Hellwagon, is there a team in your mind that you put in a blue blood category? Even if you don't root or like them all that much, you put them in that category that maybe doesn't classify. Mine is the Broncos. I don't root for the Denver Broncos. I don't even really care about the Denver Broncos. But when you ask me blue bloods, they do pop into my mind. They've been good my entire life. Sans like two or three seasons. My entire life, the Broncos have been great.
Yeah, you had the teams obviously in the 80s and 90s.
Elway's entire career.
They were even relevant after that. They got to the Super Bowl in the
70s. They lost to the Cowboys in the 70s.
Went to two Super Bowls with Peyton Manning.
I view Mile High in that category. The logos, the old D one. Yeah, the old D. And then the Bronco itself. Like, that's, they're not in that, but I put them in it.
I would say from my lifetime, there's a certain element of that with Baltimore.
The Ravens.
I know they obviously moved and there's a different history there, but I mean, winning a Super Bowl with that great defense, I feel like almost every year Baltimore has been a pretty good team.
Their team's been the same the entire time since they moved in 96 too. It's always the defense is really good.
Well, now you have the Lamar Jackson era.
So is there one for you, Swag, in a different sport, football, whatever?
I don't know. I mean, hockey has those teams. It's probably Montreal who actually has the most championships of the four major ones. They have 27 or 28. They actually have more titles than the Yankees. Now, there was only six teams in the league up until the mid-60s.
The original six are basically the Blue Bloods, right?
You got a one in six chance at winning the whole thing.
It's the Bill Russell era.
So, yeah, you've got those original six teams always get a benefit of the doubt over the rest of the league.
Yeah. But, well, everybody's going to talk. They're still going to talk about it, but I don't even know how we got into this.
It was a more enjoyable conversation than talking about Dak Prescott being an idiot for turning down $25 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to turn down $250 million. Who knows? All right. We still got to get to the list that Portland fan might care a lot about. Got some news from Spencer Dinwiddie, NBA player for the Nets. He's got an update of what they potentially could be doing in the NBA. We got crunch time. Sean Hyken wrote a report for Bleacher Report. He's going to join us at 2 o'clock. We'll spread the line at 2:30. But coming up next, Steve Hellwagon covers Ohio State football for Buck Nuts, the 24/7 site. He's going to join us next. They have an idea for their fans to go in the stadium and his thoughts on the home and home with Oregon. Steve Hellwagon is next.
Hey, welcome back in. 1:34. Hope your Thursdays are going well. We got some NBA lists to get to coming up here in a little bit. Potential rule change in the NFL that I'm kind of intrigued by. And we'll spread the line in 1 hour. So get your fake sponsors in. 55305 is the fan text line. But some news out of Columbus today, and we always have our eye on them, considering the Oregon and Ohio State matchup that is supposed to be early next football season. Joining us now to talk about that and more, Steve Hellwagon. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Steve Hellwagon. Bucknuts.com of 24/7 Sports. Steve,
I love that name.
It's a great website. Thanks, as always, for the time, man. We love chatting Buckeye football with you. For those who have kind of missed the headline or what Gene Smith came out and said today, what are they considering doing for football games next fall, and then how are the people in the Ohio area feeling about it?
Well, it is very early in the consideration. Obviously, we're all going through the same thing in different degrees, depending on what part of the country you're in. Our state has been on a shelter-in-place order from the governor since mid-March, and he was one of the first who was very proactive to the point where I think people have finally rebelled to where they want to get back to where life is somewhat normal again. And so Ohio State, you know, is going to be able to bring back, and the Big Ten and the NCAA have obviously decreed this, going to bring back athletes in June for on-campus workouts. But as part of the press conference or the teleconference yesterday, Gene Smith, the athletic director, said that they are preparing for the possibility that there would be social distancing at Ohio Stadium where the Buckeyes play, ordinarily capacity of 105,000 people, thinks that they could be able to do 20 to 30,000 people for a game using the proper social distancing protocols within the seating area, on the concourse, in the bathrooms, et cetera. So a lot of thoughts going into it. But again, I caution you, it is whatever day it is, May 21st,
right,
and they play their first game there, supposedly, September the 4th or 5th, whatever that Saturday is. And so there's still a long way to go, but no decisions made on who would get tickets and who would not at this early stage, but just finally kind of letting everybody in Buckeye Nation know that if there is a season this year, if they're able to have it, it could be contested with fewer than the normal number of people in the stadium.
Well, I think that's good news for Buckeye fans, and who knows what their ticket situation is going to be. But I do want to ask you this, because we talked about this a little bit on the phone right before our show today, Steve, and I'd love for you to kind of walk our listeners through it too. So the home and home with Oregon starts this year, supposed to be in Eugene. Right now, and again, as you mentioned, it's May 21st. Who knows what happens in 3 months? Right now, we're not going to have any fans. It's going to be just a football team if we can have a season in the Pac-12. What would the scenario be if we can't have fans in Eugene? Do you think there'd be any conversation about switching the home and home where it goes to Ohio State first, maybe Oregon the next year when we could have fans out here? What's kind of just your general thoughts on that? Because I know we talked about that prior to the show.
Yeah, there's various reasons why that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense from the Ohio State standpoint. I guess, contracts are written however they're written, and whether they're going to play that game or not, you know, probably still up in the air. I don't know, because you hear some models talking about there just being conference games this year, mm-hmm. 9 or 10 or whatever it may be. But in Gene Smith's way of thinking, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If Ohio State can't have 105,000 people in Columbus and would be restricted to only 20 or 30,000 people, why would they agree to play Oregon in Columbus this year and then potentially go back to Oregon next year when they could have whatever the stadium holds, 60 or 70,000 people, mm-hmm. a full house? It doesn't make any sense. So from a competitive standpoint or any other way, I guess. So now I know the contract's written that this year's game is in Oregon and next year's game's at Ohio State, and perhaps Oregon pursues getting out of the contract for this year and pushing the game to a future date when it can have a full stadium. Maybe they'll still have a full stadium. Right. We don't know. As we said, it's still early in the whole process. But I think what they're hoping and they're striving for is that it is as normal a college football season as it can possibly be. And perspective is something I think that gets completely lost when we cross over into college football and rivalries, because all we're going to hear is what was the most balanced and competitive way to pick the teams for the playoff. And that's all people are going to worry about. And this whole year, if it hasn't taught us anything, is that life is much more important than just college football. I almost said stupid college football, but
right.
You guys understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Is that let's all thank God if there will be a season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, somebody's going to get jobbed on the selections because one team plays 11 games and one team played 10 and they couldn't get the 11th team to play them and it hurt their ranking or whatever. You know, save that stuff for somebody else, because I'm not going to be interested in hearing any of that. It's just give me the best four teams and that's what it'll be. You know, we're jumping way ahead, you know, making assumptions who could be in that mix. But you get the idea, is that if we have a season in some form, that's what we need to celebrate and not worry about the details. That guys like Gene Smith and the athletic director at Oregon, the conference commissioners, the TV people, and everybody are going to do the best that they can possibly do to preserve the sport in 2020. And there is so much on the line. You talk about scholarship money for the track people and the baseball people and everybody else. If they don't have football, the coaches can't get paid the millions of dollars. The athletic directors can't get paid their $1 million. And none of the kids can have their scholarships. So there is so much more afoot here in trying to save this thing and not worry so much about the format as just the idea that we could save the season.
Yeah, Steve Hellwagon is our guest, 24/7 Sports, bucknuts.com. The point is so valid, too. This is a long ways off, and people are just speculating about what things will look like in August or September. I am curious to ask you, though, because we've seen a couple of these models come out. I think the Dolphins came out with one of how they would space out fans and how you would get into the arena and all that kind of stuff. And we've had conversations with Oregon and Oregon State fan. It's about, like, do you feel comfortable if there are fans allowed? Would you go? That kind of stuff. I know it's a snapshot, maybe just on Twitter or whatever, but just what are you hearing from Buckeye fans about the idea of, do they feel comfortable? Like, if it's 20 or 30,000 people, there are a lot of fans saying, hell yeah, we're ready to go, and we feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I think it's a mix. Today is actually the very first day that restaurants can be open for indoor customers, and I actually went and had lunch with a friend of mine at an indoor restaurant. Mm-hmm. Last week, you could go and have lunch on a patio, and that wouldn't be possible here today because it's 50 and blowing rain. but you get the idea that we are gradually taking one step at a time, and it's your comfortability level. And, you know, wearing masks and taking precautions. And there are some people with health risks who will not want to take that risk and be surrounded by thousands of people, any one of whom could infect them at any time. So that, you know, they may have tickets for 40 years and they may not go this year just because of that. And it's unfortunate, it's sad. But again, I think the bigger picture is that they're going to do everything they can to preserve this season any way they can. And we all are just going to have to roll with the punches for hopefully just this one year. And hopefully, you know, that there'll be some kind of progress made with this thing to where it won't even look all that much different this year. So yeah. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Steve, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer. I'm trying to stay optimistic like everybody else, and I'm with you in the camp of just give us a season. I'm not going to be picky. I just want to play. If they have to wait till January, which is one of the scenarios that's been laid out here, if they have to wait till January to play college football so all the Power Five can play, it's going to be a weird calendar situation because guys like Justin Fields, et cetera, might want to leave and get ready for the NFL. I don't know if you have an answer to this, but is there a scenario there where Oregon could play Ohio State and Justin Fields declares for the NFL draft and he doesn't wait till January to want to play?
Yeah, I think that is a possibility. I don't hear a lot of groundswell for that. I think they want to play it as scheduled in the fall. One, because as you say, the marketable stars aren't going to want to play and risk their draft status in the calendar year of 2021. If they can play this year and put themselves out there and show what they can do and up their draft stock, then so be it. But, you know, I think commodities that are projected as first-round picks next year aren't going to want to risk that. So I would agree with you. And the other thing, you know, I told you it's 50 and blowing rain here today. What do you think it would be like here if they tried to have a home game on January the 8th?
Snow football, come on.
Depending. I mean, we don't get as much snow here in Central Ohio as they do in Cleveland. They might get a foot. You know, they're 2 hours away up the interstate where we'll get a dusting. But we could still have snow on the ground and 20-degree temperatures for a group of home games in January. So I don't – you want to see 20,000 people in the stands. Try and do that.
Great stuff. Steve Hellwagon, bucknuts.com, 24/7 Sports. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Steve Hellwagon. Big news out of Ohio State today. Kicking around the idea of 20 to 30,000 fans potentially in the stadium early next year. Steve, thanks as always, man. It was great catching up, and I'm sure we'll be in touch with you as we get closer to a maybe fanless Oregon and Ohio State game in September.
Yeah, I'm hoping to come. Never been to Oregon. Looking forward to it if it comes off. So
there you go.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Steve. Great stuff from Steve Hellwagon on Ohio State. 20 to 30,000 fans, Gene Smith said. That's their idea. Things, it sounds like, according to him, restaurants back opening. So they're getting there in Ohio, and there's one of your first college football ideas.
You know, I think two things that stick out. One, this is not have to do with the interview. I'm one of those people that I don't fully believe and subscribe to the whole let's just reopen everything philosophy. But I'm also one of those people that if you open somewhere and it goes well, I'm not mad about it. I'm happy. I hope that we can all get to that point.
You're rooting for success.
So, yeah, I'm rooting for Ohio to do really well. I'm not rooting against any state. The second part, he makes a good point on this, and this is what sucks for Duck fans. If they are to play a football season and the ban isn't lifted for large gatherings and you can't have even 20,000 at Autzen, they say no fans, that is horrific.
I think you would get the game rescheduled if that were to happen.
And I hope Rob Mullins in Ohio State and Gene Smith can figure that out. I don't blame Ohio State, though, if they hold firm and say,
sure,
we're not switching, because his point's right. Why would you allow Oregon to come in when you can only have maybe 30, where the next year you might have 70 to 100,000 people allowed to be there? Even though we have no fans here, they're not going to want to take a back seat to that and have some mediocre crowd for a huge game like that. They want the full boat. So I don't blame Ohio State if it comes to that. And if they can't reschedule, it's really going to suck for Duck fam, because you're not going to be able to see that.
No, it'd be brutal. I still would stay optimistic and say they find a way to put another one on the books down the road, or just give their fans a chance to go see it.
Very quickly, is there a number that if Oregon can figure this out, our numbers stay low, they allow fans, is there a number in your mind where you go, sure, it's not 56,000, but blank fans can go, that's a good home and field advantage?
You'd have to get to 30. You'd have to get over half the stadium, at least. Over half the stadium. Good stuff from Steve Hellwagon. Let's stick in football. A couple things. We'll talk some NBA coming up at the bottom of the hour. But an NFL idea. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they're temporarily closed, they want you to continue working out, so don't sweat it. 100 free workouts available at crunchlive.com. Use it on your phone, your TV, or your tablet. We'll talk to Sean Hyken coming up top of the hour. Some NBA stuff, including one player leaking the start date.
It involves Portland. Based on what I saw.
Let's go, baby.
I don't know if it's going to help any chance of them making the postseason, but...
Is it sad to admit I hope they lose all five of those games?
Well, you know, I get the idea of a start into the playoffs. If you're the NBA, you're trying to figure this out and stop the spread, if there is one. Wouldn't you just...
Let's just go to the playoffs.
Yeah, like, you got to chalk up your losses and say, we're going to lose money this year. Yeah. This sucks. We had the China thing, and now we got this. Five games is five games. Yes, that's some money. I don't argue against that, but you cut half your league out if you don't do the regular season.
Yeah, it's all about local TV contracts.
I know.
That's all it is. And the only argument I would make against that, we're just going to get into it now. The only argument I would make against that is you have to test everybody to get in there anyways. So what is it to test... I know it's a lot, but your test, it's not like, I don't think you're adding the risk, because if somebody tests positive, you're not going to let them into the bubble, and as their season ends, you just send them on their way.
Yeah.
But you did bring this up. I think it would have been Tuesday night would have been the draft lottery.
Yep.
It would have been earlier this week, so they obviously postponed it because of the current situation.
Well, you know, and this is always the time where the NFL gets all the credit and every league is an idiot. The NFL had a draft. We couldn't do a draft lottery on Zoom. You couldn't have Adam Silver in his basement.
Well, they don't know what the final records are. Are you going to play any more games? That was the point. If you play regular season games and you lose, the odds are different.
This is my point, though. Cut
the
regular season. Yeah. Keep the records. There you go. And I know you need the playoffs for the draft. Hey, I get that. But maybe just chalk it up and say, we played X amount of games. Here are the best. This is the order. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah.
We're going to go in this order that we finished. Playoffs be damned, 5-6 games be damned. You're telling me a draft lottery, as dumb as it might be to a lot of listeners, that's at least some entertainment for 45 minutes to an hour.
Dude, I would have been roped in. If the Blazers were already eliminated, I would have been totally roped in to see what
they would have been in
get.
The draft lottery.
Dude, absolutely. Okay, before we get to the NBA stuff, I want to highlight this quickly. This has been all over the place, but I saw a few people had it on Twitter today. We've actually debated this in the past. The NFL clubs received updated playing rules change proposals for the upcoming season. And one of them that they are legitimately going to look at and consider and vote on, it sounds like, to potentially change for next season, is an alternative to the onside kick that would, as we saw, I think it was the XFL, allow a team a chance to maintain possession by going for it on 4th and 15 from their own 25-yard line. So it sounds like it's growing in support. All the players love this idea. I should note, and Tom Pelissero had this, he had this on Twitter, where he said you couldn't do it more than twice a game.
I'm okay with that.
So you couldn't score and just go for it every time to get an onside kick. I don't know how many teams would actually want to do that anyways, because you got to convert a 4th and 15, and you would be handing the ball back to them on the 25 or whatever yard line you get stopped. But yeah, I think we're all kind of on board with this, right?
Yeah, and plus this is no different than challenges. Like, when challenges were announced, I think each team gets two unless you win one and then you save or whatever. I think initially you go, oh, only two. How many moments in the first, maybe the second, and even sometimes in the third, are you really wanting to challenge versus two is kind of the perfect number?
I love the idea, like, early in the game, if you're getting blown out, let's say it's 24-0 right off the bat, second quarter, you finally get a touchdown to get on the board, as 24-7. You could use one of them right there. Like, man, we're down by 17. We got to take a Hail Mary attempt right here. Let's see if we can get it.
Well, and obviously the ebbs and flows of games, you don't know if it's the second, third, or first quarter, but I think most teams are almost always going to preserve one of these opportunities in the fourth. This is easily the better way to go. You basically took away the onside kick because you didn't want people getting concussions and hitting each other super hard with that first wall. The onside kick, I don't remember what the percentage was, but it wasn't very high anyway. And even though this is going to be tough to convert, anytime you have an all-pro high-level quarterback, you're always going to feel like at least you got that shot, right? You can have a good kicker, a guy that you hear, hey, he does really good onside kicks. You don't know if you're going to get it. If you put Patrick Mahomes,
this is going to benefit Rodgers, such a few small number of teams.
Russell,
man.
Wilson. Yeah, it is. But if
it's going to put more importance on the, not that there already wasn't a ton on the quarterback position.
Well, but imagine a Chicago, right? Stick with me here. Chicago is trailing.
Sure.
Trubisky's still the guy.
Mitch!
And it's 4th and 15, oh, and you need Mitch Trubisky to pick it up. How
You're
many
done.
People are waiting
You're
to
done.
Roast him for not coming close and throwing a 6-yard pass? And how many are going to be completely cut off guard if Mitch Trubisky makes the biggest pickup in Bears history on a 4th and 15?
I haven't read all the details. Does it say in there, oh, so if you go for it, on where are they placing it?
The 25-yard line is the proposed rule. 25-yard line.
So you
got
to get to the 40, right?
So you got to get to the 40. Now, if you fail, where does then the team get the ball? Do they get it at the 25, or do they get it where the play stops?
It is my belief that you get it where the play stops.
Okay. I like that.
So if you gain 9 yards, you get it at the 34-yard line.
Okay, I'm in on that, too.
Yeah, and if you throw an incomplete pass or if you get sacked, you can hand the ball to them on the 15-yard line if you lose 10 yards. If your quarterback's running around trying to make something happen and you get sacked in the backfield.
Well, and it's also, this is, defense needs to step up, because if you get it at the 25 anyway, you're still not in the red zone.
Yeah, somebody texted in, where did this go? Somebody said, I'm looking forward to the innovative trick plays to get 15 yards.
Yep.
I think you could get a lot of that. Like smart offensive minds, the Statue of Liberty kind of stuff, hook and ladders, reverses, whatever. Trick plays, yeah, I think that'd be fun. The onside kick has completely lost its luster. It used to be an entertaining play.
Well, yeah,
the game,
if you can't overload one side of the formation like they used to anymore, I think the convert rate went down significantly once that happened. So, and basically, the conversions were the receiving team botched it.
Right. The only one that I remember being crazy, remember the Atlanta-New Orleans game on
Thanksgiving?
Didn't they
get like two in a row
they
or something?
They got a bunch of them in a row.
They
and
had
I think
three,
there was,
and I think one was taken away.
There was like penalties. Yeah. They kept jumping off sides or touching it too early, but they kept getting it over and over and over again. And that was like the only time it happened all year. So players seem like they're on board with it, and it sounds like this is gaining some real steam that the NFL will vote on. It's a change proposal, rule change proposal. Instead of an onside kick, you will go for it with a 4th and 15 from your own 25-yard line for a chance to get the ball back. You get it back, you continue the drive. If not, you hand it back to the other team. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they're temporarily closed, they want you to continue working out, so don't sweat it. Over 100 free workouts available at crunchlive.com. Go get your credentials at members.crunch.com/members/signup. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll talk some NBA. We got to get our Sprague in the line on, so get your fake sponsors in. 55305 is the fan text line. We'll do that at 2:30. We'll talk some other NBA stuff that connects to the Blazers. One player is floating out an idea when the league could return. But Sean Hyken will join us to talk some NBA to start the final hour next on 1080 The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.